continuing with passions, the passions and the interests. Hirschman goes on to explain that those consumed by the idea of statecraft, by the project of managing society efficiently, grew attached to the notion of a delicate watch mechanism as a metaphor for a well-managed state. Quote, Stuart makes a two-sided point. On the one hand, increasing wealth causes the statesman to have so powerful an influence over the operations of a whole people, which in former ages, even under the most absolute governments, was utterly unknown. At the same time, however, the sovereign power is extremely limited in every arbitrary exercise of it. The reason lies in the nature of the complicated modern economy, which he also calls the plan or the plan of economy. Quote from Stuart, the power of a modern prince, let it be by the constitution of his kingdom, ever so absolute, immediately becomes limited so soon as he establishes the plan of economy, which we are endeavoring to explain. If his authority formerly resembled the solidity and force of the wedge, which may indifferently be made use of for splitting of timber, stones, and other hard bodies, and which may be thrown aside and taken up again at pleasure, it will at length come to resemble the delicacy of the watch, which is good for no other purpose than to mark the progression of time, and which is immediately destroyed if put to any other use, or touched with any but the gentlest hand. A modern economy, therefore, is the most effective bridle ever was invented against the folly of despotism, unquote, from Stuart. But, and we're advancing in the argument of passions and the interests, this is still quoting Hirschman, but according to Ferguson and Tocqueville, economic expansion and the preoccupation with individual economic improvement that goes with it both cause the advance of the political arts, which is statecraft, the art of controlling us, and can also be responsible for their deterioration. And my comment, I suspect that in the minds of these Plato's tribesmen, wealth, meaning us and all earth, not us, achieving its apogee in their hands, would simultaneously be the apogee of their statecraft. Continuing, this thought was later taken up by Marx in his class analysis of the 1848 revolutions. From progressive, the political role of the bourgeoisie turned reactionary as these events unfolded. But the earlier formulations are, in a sense, richer, for they demonstrate that economic expansion is basically and simultaneously ambivalent in its political effects, whereas Marxist thought imposes a temporal sequence with the positive effects necessarily antedating the negative ones. Ferguson and Tocqueville implicitly criticized the older tradition of thought that had seen in the pursuit of material interest a welcome alternative to the passionate scramble for glory and power. While not invoking the fallacy of composition, they put forward a rather similar point. As long as not everyone is playing the quote-unquote innocent game of making money, the total absorption in it of most citizens leaves the few who play for the higher stakes of power freer than before to pursue their ambition. In this way, social arrangements that substitute the interests for the passions as the guiding principle of human action for the many can have the side effect of killing the civic spirit and of therefore opening the door to tyranny. And that's unquote from The Passions and the Interests, which unfortunately we have to end at that point. But it's a pregnant one for us to end on, because I think there's a lot for us to ponder in it towards our discussion of seeing power, where it resides hidden, because I believe he hit the nail on the head. While we have been kept busy simply surviving, accumulating, I guess you could say, they have been busy constructing a world in the image of their paterfamilias, Plato, who provided for them all rulers needed to keep us contained. Controlling the human cattle is the name of that game. But the cattle are growing up, aren't we? And throwing off that pejorative and beginning to talk to each other despite the atomization. Considering the possibility that at long last it has come to pass that 10,000 years of class will very shortly be in the past. It is time, brothers and sisters, for 10,000 years of class to end. Anyway, and for this show as well. Thank you so much for listening. I love you, as you know. And until next week, peace. Bye.